Praise God. It's great to see little Bethany there praising God and worshiping the Lord. And I know Bethany's heart is to just to honor God. You say to her, why are you doing that? She'll tell you, I'm just doing it for the Lord. I want to worship Him in that way. So bless you, Bethany. Great to see you worshiping in that way. Praise God. Yeah, you can give her a hand. Why not? Bless you. Praise God. Okay, so the kids are going out. This is the kids are going out. If you've got a Bible, trust you've got a Bible. The verses will come up on the screen, but I might refer to some of them that aren't there. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to the book of Genesis. If you don't know where Genesis is, ask somebody. It's right after the book of Index is the book of Genesis. So right at the very beginning is the book of Genesis. So you'll find that we want to talk today. As we know that we've got a theme this year, and our theme is about being unashamed. And to be actually to stand and declare and say, I am unashamed. I am unashamed. And that's what our heart is, that this year that we'll understand what that means to be unashamed, that we'd be unashamed before God. That's one of the aspects we're talking about this year, how to be unashamed before God. But we want to talk about how to be unashamed in our life, how to be a person that's confident and not one that's slinking, scared and shy, and just to have a confidence. Not a self-confidence, but a God-confidence upon our life. How to be confident in the ministry that God has called us to and to be released in doing that. And also to have a confidence in sharing our faith with others. And that we'd be unashamed to witness. And that's so much burning in our hearts. As I've got there in the front of the newsletter, I trust that you always read those and grab a heart of it. We want to talk about being unashamed. I want to talk about God's great cover-up. There's a scripture in Romans 10:11, and that'll come up on the screen. You don't need to turn there. It says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Anyone who trusts in our Lord will never be put to shame. And the only way to be free from shame in our life is through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way in life to be free from shame. Now, I want to talk next week. Talk a little bit about conscience and all of those type of areas. But I want to talk about shame and where it really came from. Where does the whole concept of shame originate from, and how did God deal with shame as we talk about this of God's great cover-up. I want to start right at the beginning, as I said, in the book of Genesis and in chapter 2. And there's a verse 25. Verse 24 is a verse that we read quite often at weddings, but we encourage people, don't read verse 25 when you're reading 24 during the wedding ceremony. But verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So you find right at the very beginning of creation that you find that there was no sense of shame. Men and women were there. They were wearing nothing more than goosebumps, but they had no shame. They had no shame in front of one another. They had no shame in front of God. And so right at the very beginning, there is no shame. The Adam and Eve, they're unashamed. There's no sense of shame at all in any area of life, not just because of physically, but spiritually before God or anyway, that there's no sense of shame at all. So just remember that right at the very beginning, there is no shame. And so that's how God wants us to be, in such a place where there's no shame. And that's really how we want to be before God. That when you come before God, whether it's at home and you're doing your grow prayer that you're doing that every day, and you're reading the Word and you're doing that you come confidently before God every day. That when you come into church, you don't feel, oh no, here I go, I've done it again, and you just come in full of shame and guilt and you find it so difficult. But to be able to stand before the living God and to stand before the God who sees right through us, through whatever mask that you may try to fool someone with, for every pretense that we may have, for every act, for every play, for whatever else that we can fool others with, that God is the one who stands there and He sees right through us to the core of our being, who we are. We can stand before Him and know that God is looking at us in such a way and be unashamed to stand before Him in that. Because when we stand before God, and ultimately every one of us will stand before God, our Maker, every one of us. And when we stand before God, everything else is literally stripped away. We stand before God, all our accomplishments, our achievements, our trophies, none of those things are there. All our possessions, what we've accumulated, none of those things are there. All the things that we've tried to put around us, there's just nothing of those things there. We stand before God and He looks into the kind of person we are, and we stand before Him as He looks in our heart, He looks at our character. Well, what kind of person are we? And ultimately, are we someone that knew our Lord Jesus Christ? That ultimately what it comes down to. And so we stand before God. We are, as if it were, naked before him. And to be able to come before God and to be before God, as we read with Adam and Eve, who would walk with God in the cool of the evening, and to be that intimately walking closely with him, naked, and feel no ashamed in the presence of the living God. And that's God's heart for each and every one of us, that you'll be able to speak, come before God and know that God knows you far better than anyone else knows you. You know yourself pretty well, but you don't know everything about you. There's things that some people might know about that you don't really know because we're blind in some areas in our life. But God knows everything about us, everything. And yet we're able to be before the one who knows us best and to be unashamed. And certainly that's what Adam and Eve was. And that's certainly how we want to be as the people of God, to have that complete confidence before him. But where does shame come from? Because they were before God and they felt no shame. So where does shame come in? We find that it comes in right in at the very beginning here. We know Genesis 3. We know the story of the Garden of Eden. We know what happens. We know the deception, the lies, the manipulation that Satan, the devil, he brings upon Eve. And that we know that there's the tree. There was the one tree that was right in the middle of the garden. And the Lord said, look, you can, whatever you like, all the wonderful fruits and foods you can eat, whatever you like, all the plants and the foods that were given for food, everything was seed that was given. But you cannot touch this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Beautiful looking tree, and yep, no worries, Adam says. But then the devil comes as a snake, deceptive and cunning, and manages to put a con job over Eve. And God, did he really say that? And basically gets her to the point where she becomes desirous of the fruit on this tree. We know the story. She gets the apple. She passes it on to Adam. And so all hell literally breaks loose at that moment in time. And so we all know the story about it. And we see that's really is when it comes in. If you have a look, let's read from verse 1. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees, but God said, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will surely die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. What are you going to see when your eyes are open? And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Eyes of both of them were opened. And what is the first thing that happened to them? First thing when their eyes are opened, it says that they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So from the moment they saw this, see, Satan hoodwinked them. That he did two things to them, two primary things. One was the ultimate act of disobedience. He disobeyed what the living God had said very clearly. You can do this, but you can't do that. And they disobeyed God. So that was the first thing that they did. And so sin enters in. This is the birth of sin. But you'll see that also with sin, you will see that shame is birthed at that time. That's when there's shame. For all of a sudden, they suddenly become ashamed because they're naked. And they weren't like that before. So when sin comes in, there was also shame will follow. Sin and shame go together hand in glove. And where there's sin, there's shame. And when there's shame, there is sin. They go together. And certainly that's where the eyes are opened. For once they became aware of sin because they sinned, they disobeyed God, but they felt shame for the very first time in their lives. And so right at the very beginning, we see that shame is there. They realize they're naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And so those things came together. They suddenly became aware of feeling shame in their life. And so where there's shame, there's sin. Not necessarily always our sin. Our sin, well, we should feel shame and we need to deal with that before God and have that dealt with in a proper way. But sometimes there's shame that will come because other people sin, but either way, it needs to be dealt with through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs 18:3, it'll come up there, it says, when wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. Proverbs 18:3, and Daniel 9:8 says, O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. And so we see sin coming in, and then sin is birthed in there, and with sin there's shame. And for the very first time, we see people being ashamed, having shame. It's right here, right at the very beginning, right in the garden, and their eyes are open. And when their eyes are open so that they would know, yep, they know sin because they've just done it, but they also know shame. And the sad thing is there's people that live their lives knowing shame. They know sin and they know shame, and they live their lives like that. Some people come to Christ and they know the sin's dealt with, but then they still struggle with shame. Both of those things are dealt with, and we want to talk about that this morning. Both sin and shame, they go so much together. What happens when shame begins to come in to a relationship? And shame does that. Shame comes in and has a great effect, but shame enters when two things is when we listen to the devil's lies and where there's disobedience. Two things. So shame will come in when there's been sin. Yep, shame will come because they go together. But also the devil's lies will come in. And a lot of people will tune their ear rather than to what the Spirit of God is saying. They tune to the devil who's always trying to undermine, trying to cut you down under your feet. Oh, you dirty, rotten, and just whispering those things of death in your ear. And people are so quick to grab a hold of it. And you wonder why they don't rise up. Well, they can't rise because they live covered in shame and said, How can I ever? I know how pathetic I am. And the devil goes, right, yes, you are. And he's in there and he's bringing us down. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't walk in disobedience, but certainly don't listen to the devil's lies. It's where shame begins to come in. And if you are listening to what the devil is saying, you won't be able to say, I'm unashamed, because the devil will tell you everything to the contrary of that. But it has such a great effect on our relationships when there is shame comes in. When you're living in shame, or is that sense of shame upon your life, has a great impact upon relationships. It affects the way that you behave if you're carrying a burden of shame. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about conscience, and that's good to have conscience. I'll talk a little bit about that. I'm talking about shame where it's almost like a lingering death that hangs upon you, that the stench of sin is really what shame is, I would say. Shame, I'd say it's like the smell, the aroma of sin is shame, and it hangs upon our lives. And if that's hanging upon our lives, that's going to affect the relationships that we have with people. Some people find it very difficult to relate with one another. Some people seem just broken or lacking so much in confidence because they have this badge of shame that they wear. And they find it so hard to form relationships, to do that, because of shame is upon their life. It affects the way that we behave. But it also affected the relationship between one another. As we read in Genesis 3:7, it says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So straight away, first thing they do, whoa, I'm embarrassed. They're embarrassed with one another, husband and wife, who've never known what shame was. All of a sudden, they're highly ashamed and embarrassed in front of one another, and they run around and they start making bikinis or whatever out of leaves and covering themselves up desperately and sewing together. This is probably where they learnt to sew, I don't know. First mention of sewing in the Bible, but they're madly making these coverings for themselves. And so they're trying to remove that level of embarrassment. And people will do that. We try to put things over ourselves just so we're not going to be embarrassed and ashamed. Obviously, we need to be clothed for modesty's sake. But people will put all sorts of stuff over their lives to hide who they really are, because they're ashamed of who they are. If you really knew what I was like, you would hate me. Some people are like that. Some people hate themselves, and therefore they expect everyone else to, because they're trying to cover a shame that just putting on a fig leaf or something's not going to cover. There's one way, only one way, to deal with that sense of shame. But shame also not only affected the relationship with each other, it affected their relationship with God. So it tells us what they did. It says in verse 8, it says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord who was walking in the garden by the cool of the day. And they hid from God among the trees of the garden. I mean, it's a pretty stupid thing, isn't it, thinking you can hide behind a tree and God can't see you. We think, aren't they silly? But we look at our own selves and think, God won't see me. How absurd is that? God sees everything. He knows everything. There's no tree to hide behind. But they said this, it says in verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Isn't that amazing? Now, the word afraid there is not, oh, I'm terrified. The word afraid there is in awe. And all of a sudden he realized, maybe for the first time, how awesome and the power and majesty of the living God. And all of a sudden he saw for himself his own humanity and his own sin for the first time that he'd allowed to have been born and entered into his life. And because of that, because of the awareness of the majesty of God, he was afraid. And because of the extent and the awareness of the depravity of the sin and disobedience he just allowed in his own heart and life, it says that he is afraid. And he's afraid of God, and he says that I was naked. Now, if you think about it for a moment, he's not really naked. He was naked originally. Adam and Eve going, "Ooh, I'm all embarrassed," and they run off and cover themselves up, and so they're clothed now to a degree. Okay, maybe not full overcoats on. They haven't got that. They've got leaves on, and okay, but they're covered. They're but before God, there's still, he says, I was naked. And so even Adam knew, despite the fact that they'd gone and covered themselves up with leaves, when it came to God, they were still naked, because God could see right through them to who they really were, right into their core of their being. And he was naked. And so it says that his response to that was, "I hid. I hid from God, because I knew he could see right through, right into who I was. And so I knew I was really naked, because of nakedness. It's not a physical nakedness, it's a spiritual nakedness." And he was once walking under the covering and the protection, the blessing of God who made him. And then he threw all that aside, and then it was just without that covering of God in his life. And so there was a nakedness in his life. And so many people are like that. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, exactly that's how you are before God. And you find a lot of people, why do some people freak out about going to churches or are so scared to do that? Because they know when the rubber hits the road, I'm naked. And if I come to God, or people talk about God or go to church or I hear about it, it's like, I know what I'm like, and I know that God knows what I'm like. And when I'm confronted with the fact that God can see right through my life, it makes me feel uncomfortable. And so you'll find that people will quite often do anything to stay away from God. You'll find that people will do all sorts of things. You know, people don't, "I just don't want to believe in God." And so people will want to, "Oh, no, there's no God. No, there's no God." And they'll try to convince themselves no God, even though the scripture tells us that deep down there's that knowledge. There is the knowledge that there is a God. There is someone that we're accountable to. That says, scripture says, Ecclesiastes, that eternity has been set in the heart of man. So we know that. Despite whatever we try to convince ourselves, no, there's not really a God. Because if there is a God, of which I know there is, it means that we're accountable to God. And this is the God that can see right through me. And it doesn't matter what I try to cover myself with. Ultimately, I'm naked before him, because he can see right through into my heart, into who I really am. And so the response is to hide. And so people who don't know God, they will hide from God. But even some people who do know God will also hide, because the thing is, once you get to know God and you get to know how God is mighty and how holy and wonderful he is, and how the sense of holiness and how awesome God is, for some people, that they just, the closer they get to God, the more they're aware of God, but also the more aware of their own sin. And so they begin to hide from God. Why do some people, you know, not go with fellowship? It's because when they're there, they know they're going to confront the living God looking at that. It's uncomfortable to do that. There's a sense of maybe shame in their life. What if some people find it so hard to enter into worship? Because the bottom line is there's a badge of shame upon them and says, what did you do this week? How can you come to God before the holy God? Lift your arms and your heart and to receive his love upon you. And the devil would add in there, you dirty, rotten sinner, upon your life. And so people find it so hard, excuse me, just to enter in, even into the things of worship. People will hide, and shame is a crippling thing on people's lives. It's a crippling thing. It'll stop you from growing in being the person that God has made you to be. And it was born right here in the garden. It was born at the birth of sin, was the birth of shame. And people will struggle with that. And if you've got shame upon your life, it's going to affect every relationship that you have, and it'll, more than anything, will affect your relationship with God. You know, you see people think, "Oh, they seem so close to God. I wish I was close to God. I so much want to hear from God." Well, the only time we can't hear from God is when we're hiding from him. And it was interesting, even though he was trying to hide, Adam could still hear God, still heard the voice of God and say, "Come on, Adam." And God would say that to us too. If we're trying to hide from him, he's saying, "Come on, You know, no peekaboo games here, guys. I can see you. You know, you play peekaboo with your kids. I used to love doing that with the kids. I used to play hide and seek. And the kids would run around and hide, and, you know, and they'd be, you know, there's a chair, and there they're hiding under the chair. And they think, ah, you can't see me, you can't see me. They're hiding under the chair. Well, you know, and you'd walk around and go, where are you? You pretend you couldn't see them. And they're just giggling and laughing so loud, even if you were blind, you could hear them. You'd find them if you were deaf. And we don't think they can hide. Well, we're like that before God. We're hiding behind, you know, a chair, and we think that God can't see us. Well, he can see us. He says, come on. Game over. Come on. I want to deal with something in your life. And so if you find that you struggle in those areas, you struggle in relationships, if you struggle with relationships with people, or you struggle in the relationship with God, maybe there's that lingering of shame upon your own life. And we've got to understand that Jesus came to deal with sin, but he also came to deal with shame. He dealt with those things. We cannot ever say, I'm unashamed, without apprehending what Jesus Christ did upon the cross for us. Only through Christ can we truly be unashamed and have shame dealt with in our life. He dealt with sin. And so many of us say, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm free, I'm going to heaven. But they still walk in shame. I was this thing and just heads low, slinking, always unworthy. I cannot come before God because I'm wearing this badge of shame. Well, Christ dealt with our sin. He also dealt with our shame upon the cross. It's interesting in all of this, when God, he talks to man, he puts a judgment upon him for his disobedience. He says, well, because you've done this, there are consequences. And whenever there's sin, there's always consequences. Sin brings consequences. There was consequences that God brought upon them. But if you have a look down in verse 21, should come up there. After God said all these things about what's going to happen to the ground, and you have to work, you have to get a job now, Adam, you're going to have to do all this sort of stuff. In verse 21, he says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Isn't that amazing? That God himself, he was the one that closed up their nakedness. God, he did that. And to do that, something had to be killed. An animal had to be killed. Blood had to be shed. There was an animal that was killed, that its hide or skin, we don't know whether it was a sheep, we don't know if it was a deer, whatever it was, I'm pretty sure it wasn't a mouse. An animal is killed and God makes clothes for them out of that. And so blood shed and there's a clothing that happens before them. And the only way that we can actually stand and say that we're unashamed is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has actually covered over our nakedness, that he has covered over our shame. And so that we can truly say that I am unashamed. And we know that Jesus Christ, that when he died upon the cross, he dealt with our sin. He dealt with sin. His blood was to wash away our sin. He not only defeated and destroyed the works of the devil, ground him under his foot, put him under our feet as well as we stand in Christ. He dealt with sin. He dealt with our eternal destiny, that we are not consigned to oblivion or to hopelessness. We're not going to eternal hell, but we have the promise of eternal life in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that promise because of the cross. But also, shame was dealt with. The lingering smell, the stench of sin, shame, was also dealt with at the cross. That shame was wiped out. He covered our nakedness at that time. There's many scriptures. I'm going to put a few of these up there on the screen. It says in Isaiah 61:10, he says, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Now just picture yourself like that. When you stand before the living God, if you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you said, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm sinned in my life. I know that I need you in my life. I need you to wipe away that sin. I need the sacrifice of the cross to apply for my life, that I might stand before God and have him look right at me, but to have no shame because I've been covered over because of our Lord Jesus Christ. To have the garment of salvation upon you. You can come before the living God without any shame because you wear the garment of salvation. It talks about a robe of righteousness. Not a righteousness of our own. We all know how pathetic we are. But it's the righteousness that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can come before God and we can come and bring our prayers before him. We can honor him. We can worship him. We can come before him because we're clothed in righteousness before him. And you've got to understand that. We've got to understand that the work of the cross was salvation. Salvation means dealing with sin. It means dealing with sickness, all of those things. But also it means dealing with shame. that the badge of shame is wiped out. Whatever labels the world has put upon you, or even if the Word of God has condemned us because we've sinned, and it says the Bible tells us this is what sin is. So we know what sin is, but the blood of Jesus Christ washes us from those things. And we stand as daughters and sons of the living God, and we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're clothed in righteousness. It says in Galatians 3:27, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Clothed with Christ, with His righteousness, with His holiness. And so that we are unashamed because Christ has come and taken, washed away our sin, but we come before God in Christ, clothed in Christ. Romans 13:14, "Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Christ dealt with sin on the cross, but shame on the cross. Hebrews 12:2, where it talks about Jesus Christ, where it says it talks about the joy that is set before Him, how that He endured the agony of the cross. It says that He scorned its shame. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me, He died not only in agony, He died in shame. It was one of the most shameful ways to die, was to be crucified. It was left for the worst of the worst. The worst scum were crucified. He was crucified. He died in that, the method of His death. When he wasn't up there with a nice little loincloth delicately placed, as you see in photos and pictures. He was there totally humiliated, totally stripped bare before people who were mocking Him and spitting Him and all of that. But He says He scorned the shame. He took the sin, but He also took shame upon Himself. That when we come into a knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we can truly say, "I am unashamed because of what my Lord Jesus Christ has done for me." That so we can come to Him in that way. And my encouragement to each and every one of us today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, but you know there is a God, and believe me, there's a God. Any intelligent human being knows that there is a God. There is a Creator of heaven and earth, that there is a God. And if there is a God, then one day we stand before Him. And the only way to stand before Him, because when He sees us, we can play a little hide-and-seek game we like. We can try to say, "Oh, I was a good person," try to put the fig leaf of good works upon us. You're naked before God. He looks at us. And the only way that we can confidently before God at that day when the end of the ages comes is to be clothed in Jesus Christ, is to enable what Jesus Christ did upon the cross when He took our sin upon Himself, but He dealt with shame. And you need that in your life. Otherwise, you will be dogged by shame. It'll affect every relationship you have in your life. It'll affect your relationship with God. It'll ultimately affect our eternal destiny if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I encourage you, when we give you the opportunity in a moment, don't hang around there. Don't slink home in shame and fear and guilt and all those things. Come and say, "Lord, I want to be made new in Jesus Christ. I want to be clothed in salvation. I want that robe of righteousness so that when you look at me, when you see right through me, you say, he's covered in Christ. The holiness of Christ is upon him, upon her life." That's our prayer. But if you're a believer and you struggle in these areas, you struggle in areas of relationships with people, or that even in your own work with God, you just find so hard sometimes because the little voice is whispered in, "Oh, you're unworthy. Did you know what you did? Do you know who you are? You're coming and you're a holy God," and you think, "Oh Lord, how can I?" And shame descends upon you. Well, wherever there's sin in our lives, we deal with it. We bring before the Lord. I'll talk about more of that next week. Talk about doing that, how to have a clean conscience before God and to be able to do that. But to be able to come in and to be free from shame, that's what God wants every one of us. And if you struggle, are you struggling in worship? And let's lift our hands and love God. How can He love me? He's a holy God. He's loving and pathetic little me. How can I? If you struggle with that, I want to pray with you that you'll understand what it is to be clothed in salvation, clothed in the robes of righteousness, that you'll be able to honor God and worship Him and love Him and have strong relationships because you're not wearing shame upon your life. So I just want to close with one scripture, and then I want to pray for us this morning. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "Behold, I come like a thief." Jesus is coming back. He's not coming back as a thief, you know, sneaking around. He's coming back as a thief. They knew what a thief was. Kick in the door, bang, here I am, I'm here. That's the thief that it's talking about. He's going to come suddenly, unexpectedly, the Lord is coming. He says, "Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake. Lord, I'm longing for your coming. I'm walking in you. And keeps his clothes with him. Now, he's not saying go around and, you know, get your suit on or get it, whatever. Make sure you've got nice jammies on or a nice warm jumper or something. He's not saying that. Spiritually be clothed. It says he who stays awake keeps his clothes with him, walking in Christ every day so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Because the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. And the only way that we can be unashamed before him is to clothe ourselves in Christ. I want us to stand. I want to pray for us this morning. You struggle in the area of relationships. You just find it hard just to be close to people. You find because there's a sense of shame that hangs upon you. You feel like I'm not good enough or you feel unworthy. I want to pray for you this morning. If you find that you struggle in your relationship with God, and you just find, I just can't get close to God. I want to get close to God. But there's this shame, this how could he this hold you back. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God touches you. So Father, even as we stand here now, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can stand and declare that I am unashamed. That I am unashamed, Lord. It's not because of me, but it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that when the Lord Jesus came, Lord, that he dealt with sin, but Lord, he also dealt with the lingering effect, the stench, the smell, the shame. We thank you, Lord, that shame has been dealt with upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, for people, Lord, that just struggle with this area, Lord. They just had the deceiver, the devil comes and whispers, Lord, just to bring them down, Lord, and to tell them they're unworthy, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will not listen to those lies anymore, but they'll listen to you. It says that you're my son, you're my daughter, that you are clothed in the garment of salvation, that you wear the robe of righteousness, Father. I pray, Lord, that people will cut off listening to what the enemy says, Father. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll have good relationship with you. Father, that people will not hold back because they feel that they can't. Father, we just cut off that in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak, Lord, just that sense of being unashamed that I am a son or daughter of the living God. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have that clothing. I can confidently come before God. And I can know that he sees into my deepest heart, into who I am, and I still am without shame because of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that for every person that is here. And Father, if there's anyone that is here today, Lord, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, it hasn't had their sins forgiven, Lord, it hasn't had the shame taken away. Father, I pray, Lord, they'll have the courage, Lord, they'll be not shamed, Father, but Lord, they'll be unashamed to come and say, yeah, I need Jesus, I need him in my life. I don't want to have shame now and I don't want to have it before God. I want to be able to come before him. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to have that promise of living with him forever. I don't want to die in that way in shame. So Father, I pray for anyone that's in that situation today in Jesus' name. So just as we sing this song, I just give the opportunity. If you want prayer, come. Come and be prayed for. Relationships, it's your relationship with others, with God. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You just feel you're carrying that badge of shame upon your life. Let's see that broken this day, that you might stand and know who you are in Jesus Christ, that you can stand and boldly say, I am unashamed because of Jesus Christ. Let's sing this. I want to pray for people this morning. Let's come out the front.